glad he knows your name. Amen. All right, children's church is dismissed at this time. You got them, Timmy? If you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to Malachi chapter 2, the last book of the New Old Testament. Malachi chapter 2. In these verses that we're going to read in just a moment, in chapter 2 of the book of Malachi, we find a connection with the set of verses that we have been looking at and studying for a while in chapter 1. As you know, if you've been coming for any time here, that for the last 3 or 4 weeks, we have been looking at a challenge to God's honor. The priest and the people were challenging the honor of God. They were bringing dishonor to His name. But where did it start? Where did it come from? Well, it's very obvious when we read in chapter 1 this challenge to God's honor, we'll understand that God put squarely the blame upon the priest, the spiritual leader of the people. These priests were the ones who started the dishonor of God's name, and then the result was that it trickled down to the people so that the people were dishonoring God's name. And we see that. We live in a time in which we too have seen spiritual leaders who have dishonored the name of God, and it trickled down to their people, and their people dishonored the name of God. They dishonored the church and they dishonored the cause of Christ in such a way that God has often intervened in that situation to keep His glory and His honor held high. So what the Bible does, it opens up in chapter 2 by dealing with these priests who have dishonored the name of God, and what He says to them is, look, it is your actions and it is your ways and it is your words that have led the people down the wrong road, and if you don't get it right, you will be under condemnation and under a curse. That's what He says to them. He's very straightforward. And He says that they will have to experience some pretty harsh consequences. But now let me share something with you. Everybody listen to this. Today, as I stand before you and I preach like I'm preaching already, what automatically comes to our mind is that our God is a condemning God. What automatically comes to our mind is that vision of pastors of the past who've only preached that God is out to get you. Well, there's nothing further from the truth. It is not God's desire to get you. It is not God's desire for you to go down the wrong path. But neither is it God's desire that you have to experience the consequences. Can I get an amen? However, you and I need to understand that there comes a point and there comes a time in which for our own good and for the cause of Christ, He has to allow us to experience consequences that He wished we didn't have to, so that it might bring about a cleansing and it might bring about a revival and it might bring about a renewal. God sometimes allows us to go through difficult consequences to wake us up. And God is saying to these priests, if you don't wake up, you're going to have to go through some of these consequences. Now here's what God does say to them. If you'll do what's right, if you'll turn around and do the right thing and be the kind of priest I intend on you to be, then you won't have to experience the kind of consequences that you will have to go through. And that's what God says to them. But let me just share this with you. They were right on the edge of that line. They had come to the point and place in their life and in their ministry that they had dishonored God so much and led the people in this manner in such a way that it had come to the point and place where God said, you're almost past the line in which I will give you another chance. And that's what God is saying to them. But here's what he says. But let me remind you that you can be the kind of priest that I want you to be. If you'll repent and get it right. Now I'm going to tell you something today that maybe you have forgotten. As you sit out there and you look at me and you're thinking, okay, preacher, you're our priest. And as our priest, you are the spiritual leader. And as our spiritual leader, it all hangs on you. There's a degree, certainly, of truth to that. I am the leader that God called to Great Swamp Baptist Church. And I am to be the spiritual leader that encourages you and leads you in the right direction to do that which is pleasing to God. But I want to remind you something. Who are God's priests today? Who? All of us are God's priests. If you were, and we won't go, but just to let you know, in the book of Peter, Peter tells us that we are God's royal priesthood, chosen generation, to bring about the praises of God in this present generation. So let me say to you that you and I together are the priest of God in this world. We are His priesthood to carry out His work and His will and His praises and His honor and His glory in the world today. And so, when God points out about these priests and the direction they're going that's not pleasing to God, understand, God is saying that the pastor of this church sadly can do that, but he's saying that we all can fall in the same shoes because we all are called to be priests today for God's purpose in this world. Let me ask you a question. What kind of priest are you? What kind of priest are you? Are you the kind of priest that makes a difference in this world for the cause of Christ in a good sense? Or are you the kind of priest that needs the kind of warnings that were given to these priests in these verses? And my message title is simply the kind of priest that God wants us to be. The kind of priest that God wants us to be. Let me begin reading with verse 1 of chapter 2 of the book of Malachi. Strong words. And now this admonition is for you, O priest. If you do not listen, and if you do not set your hearts to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes. I have already cursed them because you have not set your hearts to honor me. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. I will spread your faces, the offal from your festival sacrifices, and you will be carried off with it. Now, those are strong words, and I'll share with you in a moment about those words. And you will know that I have sent you this admonition so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me, and he stood in awe of me. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. And he walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many from sin. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, and from his mouth men should seek instruction, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty. But you have turned from the way, and by your teaching have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people, because you have not followed my ways, but have shown partiality in matters of the law. Strong words. My prayer is that God can encourage us today with the warnings that he gave to these priests to be the kind of priests that he wants us to be. Point number one, the kind of priest God wants us to be is not the kind that are under condemnation and is cursed. The kind of priest God wants us to be is not the kind that is under condemnation and is under a curse or is cursed. That's exactly what we read in those first several verses. God has said, if you do not, you are condemned and you are cursed. Now, the reason why they were condemned and the reason why they were cursed and the reason why they would be condemned more and the reason why they would be cursed more is because they had failed to honor his name. And they had failed to honor his name because they had failed to do God's bidding in this world the way God wanted it to be done. And their actions and their words were the cause of the rest of the people going down the wrong way. We stand here today, or I stand in here today, and you're in here today, and we wonder about what happened to our country. Where did it go? Why did this happen? And I want to say part of the blame is us. And God says, do I condemn you and curse you? As my priest, have you done your job? Have you honored my name in this world? Or are you the one who has helped our nation and our world go in the direction that it has chosen to go? You say, no, possibly, I can't do that. I'm a Christian. Well, let me ask you a question. How many of y'all have read the book of 1 Corinthians lately? Anybody? Anybody read it lately? Well, let me encourage you to do something. Go home and read the book of 1 Corinthians. And what do you find in 1 Corinthians? You find a church that has dishonored the name of God by the actions and the words and the deeds that they are carrying out in the world. And instead of being a blessing to the world, and instead of drawing the people to Christ, they are being a detriment. And yes, that's God's people. I ask us a question. What are they saying about Great Swamp Baptist Church? Are your actions out in the world such that They know you're from Great Swamp Baptist Church, and when they see the way you live your life and the words you speak and the actions they carry out, do they say, boy, I can't wait to go and be a part of Great Swamp Baptist Church. There is a church that stands for the truth. There is a church that honors their God. Or do they say, why would I want to go there? There's no difference down at the local bar than there is at Great Swamp Baptist Church. You can get fellowship at a bar. Did you know that? You can have fun at a bar. Did you know that? You don't know that? You can be welcomed at a bar. So I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, I want to say that God is saying, be priests, but don't be the kind that come under condemnation and that are cursed. You know what he said? Listen to me. He said that they were so condemned and so cursed. Listen to what he said. He said, you have become useless for my cause in the world. He said, you are like dung. He says, I might as well just take the dung from your sacrifices and wipe it on the face of your descendants, because they're going to be useless, just like the dung of the sacrifice is useless. All it's good for is to be thrown on the dung pile. You say, preachers, you shouldn't be talking like that. We're in church. Well, that's what the Bible says. That's what the Lord said. The Lord says that they had become about as useful as dung for his cause in the world. How about yourself? How about me? Are we useless only to be thrown upon the dung pile because we are so out of step with our God? Secondly, notice that they not only are condemned and are cursed. That's not the kind of priest God wants us to be. Secondly, the kind of priest God wants us to be is one that remembers the covenant. That remembers the covenant. What covenant? The covenant that God had with the tribe of Levi. What God says in this chapter down here, he says in verse 4 and 5, he says, and you will know that I have sent you this admonition so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. Now here's what the Lord did. He set aside the tribe of Levi to carry out the priesthood work in the nation of Israel. He struck a covenant with them, an agreement with them. Now, what was that agreement? Well, here's what he says that agreement was. Look at verse 5. He says, my covenant, or my agreement, or my contract was with him, talking about the tribe of Levi, a covenant of life and peace. Now, here's what he says. God says, I am going to give the tribe of Levi life and peace, a life full of purpose and meaning, a life worth having, a life that we appreciate, a life that no one else has that is special to them. And peace. I'm going to give that to them. And in turn, he says, I expect them to have reverence for me and reverence for my name. He says again in verse 5, my covenant is with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I give them to him this call for reverence, and he revered me, and he stood in awe of my name. Now, I want you to understand something. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. And Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more what? Abundantly. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me shall never perish, but will live forever. Let me say something to you today, brothers and sisters. God has got a new covenant. And that new covenant is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, here's God's agreement with you. When you trust Jesus Christ, he gives you the best life you can ever have. He gives you a life worth living. He gives you a life that is abundant. He gives you a life that is purposeful. He gives you a life that is filled with inner joy that cannot be taken away. And he gives you a life that lasts forever in his presence. Hallelujah! And you can't get a better life than that. But understand, that life came at a tremendous price, did it not? You see, Jesus said he was going to condemn these priests. Well, here's the good news. They sang about it this morning. The good news is this, is that God took our condemnation for us. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, he was condemned in our place. And that's why Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 opens up and says, there is therefore now no what? Condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And so understand something. If you have experienced Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been given life and peace, and your peace is with God. It's a peace that cannot be taken away. It is a peace that the world can't take away. It means you are right with God permanently. That doesn't mean that you are living right always, but through Jesus Christ, you are right relationship with God forever. Now understand today, God had a covenant with the people, with the priest, and God has a covenant with us. It's new, and it's through the blood of Christ. But here's what I want you to know. God said that the priesthood, when it began with the tribe of Levi, when he created this covenant with them, they, to begin with, were faithful to the covenant. Now, how were they faithful to that covenant? Listen to what he says. He says, this is how they were faithful. Look at verse 5 and 6 again. My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him, and this called for reverence, and he revered me, and he stood in awe of me. Number one, he says that to begin with, the tribe of Levi, the priesthood, they revered God. They stood in awe of his name. Then he tells us in verse 6 how they did. Verse 6 says, true instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness and turned many from sin. Here's what he says. In the covenant that he had with them, here's what those priests did when they first became priests. The Levites did this. They lived, number one, in a close and right relationship with God. Number two, they gave true instruction to the people. And number three, nothing false came out of their mouth. And number four, the result was that many were turned from their sins. Understand something today. There's too much condemnation and curse going around already among God's people. There's too much word that's getting out to the community about all the folks within the church who have done what they should not have done, and it has led many down the wrong pathway, because they know that those individuals who claim to be Christians, they're living in such a fashion that it's no different than the way they're living in the world. And we hear about that all the time. But it ought to be said that those who have been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we've been given the most perfect, the most beautiful life that anyone could have, it should be said, now there is a group of people that love their Lord and honor His name and walk with Him in a very close relationship, and they know His Word, and they teach that Word to others that they might turn from their sins and become a people of God themselves. Where are we? Where are you? Where am I? It is said that I have remembered the covenant that God has made with me, and therefore as a result I seek to be the kind of priest God wants me to be. I close with this last point. The kind of priest that God wants us to be is not the kind that is condemned and under a curse, experiencing the consequences that God has to give us sometimes to wake us up. The kind of priest God wants us to be is one that does remember the covenant that God has made with His people. And understand, the covenant that God's made with you and me is far greater than even the one that He made with the Levites, because it was made with the blood of Jesus Christ. Last of all, the kind of priest God wants us to be is the one that knows our calling. The one that knows our calling. And I've really already began expressing that calling by sharing with you what the priest of the past had done. They had walked close with the Lord in a right relationship. They lived close to Him. They gave true instruction to the people, and nothing false came out of their mouth. What is the calling of a true priest? Listen to what he says, the Bible says again in verse 7. The Bible says this, "For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, and from his mouth men should seek instruction, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty. But you have turned from the way, and by your teaching have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people, because you have not followed my ways, but have shown partiality in the matters of the law." And here's what God says: you forgot your calling. And God says to the people, here's your calling. And I'm going to just narrow it down. God says your calling is to walk close with me and honor me. And your calling is to reach the people. And I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, that calling has not changed today. As the priesthood of God, He's called us to honor His name, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and secondly, to love thy neighbor as thyself. He's called us to love God and to love the people. He's called us to honor His name and reach the people. And you see, He's calling us right now and telling us to do that. So I want you to understand something today. I want you to know that Lord wants you to love Him and walk close with Him each and every day. And He wants you to know His Word and understand what it teaches, so that when it comes that opportunity, you can share it with the people and reach the people before it's everlasting too late. Let me ask you this question. As priest, out there in the world, how often do you say, "Oh, I don't know. You can ask the preacher that question. Ask priests out there in the world, how often do you say, oh, well, let me give you my pastor's phone number and he'll talk to you about that. Now, I don't mind you doing that. And I understand there are some things that are certainly difficult, certainly for me to answer. You should have been here Wednesday night. I had a million questions. And I got them all right. So sometimes questions are difficult and hard. But what out there in the world, if they ask you, can you tell me how to be saved? Can you tell me how to be born again? Can you tell me how to have a right relationship with God? Can you tell me how to know what I need to do? Can you answer those simple questions? If you walk right with God and you get to know His Word and you walk close to Him, then what you'll do is you'll love the people and you'll be able to instruct them in His way. And you'll be able to turn many from their sins and reach them for the cause of Christ. So I ask you today, what kind of priest are you? What kind of priest am I? My prayer is that we'll not become useless. Only good for the dung heap. My prayer is that out of our lips and out of our lives, the people will turn to Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, tragically, we know, I didn't mention this, Father, in my message, but you already know what I'm about to say, but tragically, those priests didn't heed your warning. And for over 400 years, you became silent with the nation of Israel until they finally hungered and until your time came to send Jesus into the world. There was silence. Tragically, Father, there is a silence in our nation of the cause of Christ. There's a silence of your instruction. There's a silence of your love and of your salvation and of your way and of your instructions. There's a silence because we have failed to walk with you. We have failed to understand your instructions. We have failed to instruct the people in the right way. We have failed because of convenience, because of popularity, because of fame. We have failed you, Lord, because we don't want to rock the boat. We just try to get along. Lord, forgive us. And help your people to become the kind of priest that honor your name, walk close with you, that instruct the people and love them, that many may be turned from their sins. Lord, let your Spirit work in this service today. Have your will and your way. And we'll give you the praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen to me today. My message mostly was for the church, for sure. If you understand that you're not being very effective, then today you need to make a recommitment of your life to Christ. Or you need to ask God to help you to be the kind of priest that makes a difference in this world. And this altar is open for you to come and deal with these matters. I'm right here. If God's leading you to come to me for whatever reason, to trust Christ for your salvation, to become a part of this church, to surrender to the call of mission or ministry, whatever it may be, or just come and say, God, I'm sorry that I'm not the priest that I need to be, but I certainly want to be. And here am I. As we stand and as we sing, you come.
We're going to sing hymn number 316. 316, Jesus is calling.
Let me just share this before we have our closing prayer. Here's the good news. You see, before the New Testament, the Bible was very clear that the Spirit of God came and left. He didn't necessarily dwell with the people at all times or in the people at all times. But once Calvary took place and Jesus resurrected from the dead and ascended back to heaven, they sent back the promised gift of the Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts permanently. Here's the good news. The good news is that we have the Spirit of God living permanently within us to help us be the kind of priest God wants us to be. Amen. And so what God wants us to do in order to be a priest that honors His name is to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. We must pray for His guidance, His direction in our lives, and be dependent upon His power to be able to stand up, instruct the people, honor His name, walk close to Him, and help turn many from their sin. Come out tonight for the legacy as we look at Dare to Discipline. Listen to me. If you want to understand about discipline, you need to come, because I want to share with you that discipline is an art that has gone to the wayside, and we're afraid of it because our world has said you can't do that. But what does God say about it? And that's what we need to hear. And we'll hear the difference between abuse and discipline. And we'll hear the need for it and the kind that we should apply and use in a way that's pleasing to God and helpful to our children. Thank you.
Father, thank you. Thank you for your word today that reminded us that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation and peculiar people who should show forth your goodness. Lord, let us realize too as we leave today that we are now the church in dispersion. Where we go, Jesus goes. What we do, Jesus does. And we may well be the only Jesus that someone sees this week. Lord, help us to live by your Spirit and to realize that he who does the will of the Lord will surely abide forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
No, no, no. I'm talking about
the pre-slideshow.
Okay.
I'll make sure.
It's ready to go for tonight, so if you want to download it now, you can.
Cool. Will do.
Keep the keyboard on for a few minutes. I want to show Cray Lee, who's somewhere around here, needs to be up.
Okay.
I want to show him something. Thank you.
Yep.
Good job today.
Thank you.
Cray. Oh, there he is. Hard to spot. He's never still. Oh, that's what I figured.